RCR with Paul Brennan.
So, to the growing pressure from the Director General of Health on councils that are resisting or refusing to implement water fluoridation. He's been in the news on this recently, the council and him personally, and that is the Mayor of Whangarei, Vince Kukurulu, who joins us now on RCR. Vince, welcome to RCR. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate the invite.
Did you ever see yourself as the, I don't know, white knight charging forth on fluoride when you kind of got into this business of local politics?
For me, Paul, probably the biggest thing about local politics is representing the people. That's what we're here for.
But you have personal, I mean, we all have personal feelings, and they've all been through the ringer in recent times. Many of us are suspicious of everything, I think it's fair to say. And that's going to mean that some of the old mantras are going to be challenged. This is one of them, because it does seem to be a mantra. And I want to play a clip that maybe reinforces that in just a moment. People have been sold fluoride big time over a long period of time. So it's hard to back up the truck, right?
Well, look, these are one of the things, and with the changing environment, especially around the world, with new information that keeps coming out, we do need to get this clarified through the courts. That's probably the biggest thing that needs to happen.
All right. The demands from the Director General of Health, it's been reported, I'm going to bring up just a fraction of a news story from the Herald here to drive this point home. Whangarei District Council is risking imprisonment for its politicians as it continues to defy the government fluoridation order, lawyers have warned. We had Winston on. Winston said, don't blame the Director General. They are compelled to do this by law. And I'm sure he has a point there. But the heavy-handedness and the risk of imprisonment, really?
Yeah. Well, these are the things that we've heard as well. At the end of the day, we've broken no laws. So, you know, we can't be imposed of anything if we've broken no laws.
So how come it's an issue then if you haven't broken any laws?
That's exactly right. And that's exactly what we keep bringing up. If we've broken no laws, people can... I use the word threat, but people can say this is what they're going to do. Yet, if we've broken no laws, there's no real point in proceeding any further. It's one of those things that people in certain positions do from time to time.
I've spoken to the Mayor of Tauranga, Mahi Drysdale, about this, and Tauranga politicians, and it seems to me from Mahi Drysdale, he was worried about personal liability, and he indicated that other councillors were and council officers were as well, which kind of sounds like they were intimidated. Are people that easily intimidated, Vince, do you think?
When you're dealing with bigger agencies, you always get that fear of intimidation. It's always there. It's naturally there. You know, it's like when your boss may tell you to do something and you go, well, it doesn't feel right. Sometimes it's hard to tell your boss that. And to the same degree, it's hard when you have a government policy or someone from the central government saying, hey, this is what you have to do. It is hard, and there is no argument to it. So there will always be that, I hate saying it, but that David and Goliath type environment. It'll always be there.
I put it to Mahi Drysdale, kind of what you are reaping, I would say, the benefits of now, that a principled, strong stand in the face of it, guarantees a certain amount of hero status. And I'm wondering if, okay, you're going to be modest, I get all that, but you're going to be also talking to people in your community. They're going to be feeding back to you personally, especially if they think you're a liability, their feelings. What are you hearing?
Look, I'm actually hearing from both sides. And that's the one thing about myself and the position that I've taken, because I've been in council, since 2007, had some time off. However, I've been here for such a long time that people have got to learn that, if they want to talk to me, they can talk to me. So I hear from both sides of the camp there. I've got those who are very much pro-fluoride, and I've got those very much against fluoridation. So to the base degree, I hear from both groups of people.
All right, speaking of people who support fluoride, Vince, I want you to listen to this clip from RNZ and then get a reaction from you.
Why are you so anti-fluoride when the science has been looked at a number of times by the science advisors? It has been confirmed as safe, as a massive benefit to public health, particularly for low socioeconomic families in terms of dental care.
So that's Corinne Dale on RNZ, and that might have been during an interview with you, actually.
I believe it was, yes.
And okay, he's, a journalist playing devil's advocate, but the mantra I was talking about just before, you could hear it there. Science advisors, presumably to our government or prime ministers. Well, in the light of Michael Connett's case, what do they know? And
Yeah.
then proven safe. It's never been proven safe. We know that. And the impact on the health, particularly of low socio children's or oral health, is great. But at the same time, they're walking out the supermarkets with fizzy drinks, soda drinks that are rotting their teeth. So either Corin is not up with it, or it's kind of pushing a narrative. Which one do you think?
Look, Corin is Corin. He's a reporter like most of them, and they're there to get a story. From my side of things, I still come back down to it. You need to have a court of law to determine what's actually safe and what's not safe, and that's truly what it needs to be. So the fact that we've gone around and we've turned around and said, oh, well, these people are saying this and these people are saying this, actually get it to a court of law, get the facts on the table, and actually determine what the facts actually
Well,
are.
they've already been determined.
Yeah, have they?
If you
Because
look at Conant's case, they have argued their case and they have won.
and in the US case, absolutely.
So
However,
what's
in
different about New Zealand brains, New
well,
Zealand bones?
this is the big thing. New Zealand law is not American law, so we need to put the same sort of case here in New Zealand so we can actually, because if we're not, there's a lot of people in this country who have and being taught by the medical system who believe things are 100%, and I understand that totally. I was diagnosed with mercury poisoning a while back, a long time ago, and it was literally because of the fillings in my teeth. Now, when you're dealing with doctors, they all turn around and say, oh, that you haven't got that, you haven't got that. And they'd go through it, all these different drugs to try and work out what was wrong with you.
Well, they can
And
sell
when
the drugs.
that's right, they sell the drugs. When I removed all my fillings and replaced all my fillings, the poisoning disappeared. So it was just that simple. And it again comes down to, I appreciate the medical industry and what they can do amongst everybody. And most of the time, they help a lot of people out. And they do an amazing good job for a lot of people. For the odd small case of people who don't fit those molds, it's really hard. And that's the problem. So you can't turn around and say that fluoride's good for everybody without all the information.
But surely the principle of it being in the water supply and not having any way of reasonably opting out, and you're made to pay for a component of that, directly or indirectly, there's no informed consent to a mass medication. It does fundamentally violate human rights. Everyone can feel that. Now, I could make a case for Prozac being really good for people. It will mellow you out, it will lower the violence. Let's put it in the water. No one's going to take that. No one's going to believe that. There's no difference.
Yeah, what you're saying there is the same sort of arguments that I'm hearing. But the big thing is we need to be able to get this through a court of law, because
No, I understand.
that's the only way that we can actually get the government to change their view or to this change the standards. And that's the big thing. It's all about those standards. Those standards have been put in place a long time ago. So now we need to see, like, say, okay, are those standards wrong? We need to check them.
National politicians have been quoted as saying they support fluoridation as a public health measure. Don't see anything wrong with it. Of course, they have no clue either. The confidence of saying that as a politician yourself and not even knowing if you're right or wrong is kind of reckless, isn't it?
Look, I can't question how they've answered
Okay,
the
well, what would you
thing. But for
ethically
me
do in that
personally, and I
situation?
again
Yeah.
go for me personally, I look at I'm a facts and figures type of person. So I actually need the facts and figures put in front of me. I've done a lot of research on different things. I was blown away that black tea has fluoride in it. I had no idea of that. Coffee has fluoride in it. I had
Yeah,
no
but
idea of
there's a
that.
choice in that,
Yeah,
isn't
exactly.
there?
There's a
Not
choice
putting
in
fluoridated coffee or tea in the water supply.
But to the same degree, there's also a choice. And what I keep saying is and all the dentists keep saying, the best way of looking after your teeth and oral health is brushing them. Brushing them twice a day. It is the best thing you can do.
With a fluoride toothpaste, if you want, because you're not swallowing it, you see?
Exactly. But it's again, it's that if you want to get the best way of getting people's teeth sorted, it's brush their teeth.
Yeah. So why not hammer that?
And that's where I've come from.
The announcement from New Zealand First, a private member's bill, returning the power on fluoridation or not to the local citizens via referendum, binding referendum. Are you with that? On board with that?
Absolutely. I think that's a great outcome, because realistically, Section 116 of the Health Act very clearly says it takes the authority away from the local people and gives it to one person.
Do you think there's any connection with the timing of that and the threats from the Director General? They do seem to come close to each other in terms of timing.
All I can say is New Zealand First are very, very good at timing. They are impeccable at it, if I could say.
Do you think, and I'm going to put the royal we in, because that mass medication without informed consent is I think something everyone should be concerned about. Do you think this is going to be won? You're going to win this?
Look, the facts are out there, and we need to try and get that through a court of law. That's the most important thing. Look, whichever the case may be, I need to make sure it's very clearly determined to what is safe. I know full well that the amount of safety gear our team have to use if they're going to put it into the water, so the actual chemical themselves, handling the chemical themselves, is actually a very unsafe environment. So they've got to wear a lot of protective gear. I still go through it. Then how does that make it safe for water?
What is the pricing of all of this? We've seen lots of figures. There's the fines. We know about the fines, and we've seen sort of ballparks on installation. It's run into the millions, down to the low hundred thousands. What's the case for Whanganui?
So the big thing for us is we've had to install around about $4.5 million worth of equipment, which we have done. We've installed the equipment.
Who
We
paid for
haven't.
that? Was it the central
Well,
government?
at the time, we made it quite clear to the government that we couldn't afford this. It was outside our budgets. This was something that you've thrown on us. They had to pay for it, so they've agreed to pay for it. So they've paid for half of it at the present moment. We have completed the installation. We've gone through this process. We haven't purchased the fluoride at this present moment because we really want to determine whether the safety of it. We're well aware that for us to do it for a year is about $100,000+. And as all things, they do increase in price as population grows, as well as pricing.
Can you give us an idea, that 100K that you mentioned, does that include the price of the actual product?
I understand that is the inclusion of the price of the product, yes.
Yeah, okay. Can you see then? Okay, there's 4.5 million. Let's go another 100K for a year, 4.6, 4.7. Are we going to see $4.7 million worth of value come back to oral health in Whangarei for that expenditure, do you think?
That's something I can't answer because there are so many factors that haven't been taken into account.
That's a lot of teeth fixed. That's a lot of dental visits that didn't happen. In fact, that's dentists out of business.
But it's more than that. It's actually, if you want to get to the people who actually need the tooth or the oral health, a lot of them don't drink water and they're not on the town supply. So how does that get to them?
If you should ever be behind bars on this, first of all, are you prepared to do that?
Look, the biggest and most
I know it's
important.
sort of kind of funny, but seriously.
And the big thing we need to stress right here is our council has broken no laws, so there is no fear of imprisonment.
Why is that being reported in that way, do you think?
I cannot answer how the media report things, and you, as an ex-media person or as a present media person, know full well what I'm talking about. I cannot control how media report
But
things.
the truth is important, though, Vince. I mean, come on, man. I mean, I'm not saying that you're saying pushing back against that, but
Yeah,
must land somewhere.
and you're right. The truth is important, and unfortunately, not all media people want the truth out there because that doesn't sell a story.
Okay, so what happens next in this game?
We've filed the court proceedings, I believe. I believe that's happening either today or tomorrow. A letter has gone back to the Director General. That will be happening tomorrow, explaining our situation. We've asked for in the court proceedings, we've said, look, we want a ratification over what is actually safe for fluoride. We've asked for whether the Director General of Health actually technically has the mandate to dictate because in other sections of the Health Act and also in the Water Services Act, it actually clearly states that the district council is actually responsible. And on top of that, under the Local Government Act, it clearly states that the local councils are put in place to look after the will of the people, which is the community that they represent. So there is several acts there. So we've asked for clarification of that because at the end of the day, which act takes precedence over another? And the last thing we've asked for is an interim in relation to the fines or the persecutions, so that while the court cases are going, Whangarei is exempt from those issues.
Right. Okay, well, it's fascinating, isn't it? Our audience is all in on this one, following the progress.
Thank you.
And what looks like, compared to everyone else, a courageous stand. So, Vince Kukurulu, Mayor of Whangarei, thank you so much for coming on RCR. Vincent, I'm sure we'll catch up again as this moves through. It's really fascinating.
Appreciate the time, Paul.